Hello, you're listening to Bite-Sized Medicine, a podcast where the episodes are bite-sized in length and the medicine is about food. My name is Kelsey.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Katie. We are medical and dietetic students from The Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. Our goal is to make evidence-based nutrition counseling easier for busy healthcare providers and students. These discussions are our own and are not endorsed by any organization or university, and they are not intended to be used in place of medical advice.
Let's get started.
Today, we are going to delve into a historically controversial topic, cholesterol.
There have been many studies looking at the impact of dietary cholesterol on serum cholesterol, but results have been inconsistent, likely suggesting that many other factors are involved in serum levels.
Because of the variable effects when counseling patients, it is important to determine which patients might benefit from specifically from a low cholesterol diet. In most cases, dietary cholesterol intake does not directly affect blood lipid levels. It is primarily patients with specific subtypes of hereditary hypercholesterolemia that have been shown to have serum lipid levels that are hyperresponsive to dietary cholesterol intake. This means that patients' family history can give you an important clue.
For example, eggs are often criticized for their high cholesterol content. However, they are a great source of protein and fat. Evidence suggests that avoiding eggs would have little impact on serum cholesterol levels for most people without these specific hereditary conditions. So have that omelet for breakfast.
Also keep in mind that cholesterol is only found in animal products. There is no cholesterol in plants, so if a patient needs to limit cholesterol consumption, plant-based proteins such as beans and tofu are great alternatives to animal products.
So what foods have consistently been shown to influence serum lipids?
Most evidence focuses on effects of saturated fat, trans fat, and soluble fiber, as well as total caloric intake. How can we help patients understand these different kinds of fat?
A common strategy is to consider if the fat sources are solid or liquid at room temperature. Oils that are liquid at room temp, nuts, seeds, avocado, and fish, all contain unsaturated fat. This type of fat may lead to increases in HDL, decreases in LDL, and decreases in blood pressure. All good things.
You can increase these fat sources in your diet by adding them to foods you are already eating. Add avocado to sandwiches, add nuts or seeds to salads, make salad dressings at home with olive oil, cook veggies in plant oils, or have fish once a week for dinner.
In contrast, saturated fats are solids at room temperature. These include animal fat, cheese, dairy, and butter. These fats may increase serum LDL levels.
You can suggest replacing mayo or cheese with avocado and substituting animal meats with fish or a leaner option such as chicken. Also consider lower fat dairy products such as 1% or skim milk.
Another thing to consider are trans fats. These are also solids at room temperature, but tend to be used in processed foods. They increase LDL and decrease HDL.
Because of the wealth of research indicating that trans fats are particularly bad for our cardiovascular health, most packaged or processed food items actually no longer contain trans fats due to the FDA ban made official in 2018. The FDA did give an extension to some products to eliminate trans fats by 2020, so it is still important to check the nutrition label. Most trans fats will be listed as partially hydrogenated.
Another important note when working on improving a patient's serum lipids are the effects of sugar and fiber. Sugar has been linked to increasing triglyceride levels.
Dietitians recommend limiting non-nutrient-dense calorie sources, including alcohol and sugar-sweetened beverages, in order to best lower triglyceride levels, along with general weight loss and physical activity.
What about fiber?
Fiber helps decrease blood pressure, decrease LDL levels, and helps us stay full for longer. Recommendations on fiber intake are 25 grams per day for women and 35 grams per day for men.
Beware that dramatic increases in fiber intake can result in abdominal discomfort because of the bulk and increased GI transit time. Always encourage increasing water intake as fiber intake increases and go slowly to prevent this unpleasant side effect.
So what foods should we recommend our patients eat in order to increase their fiber intake?
In general, foods high in fiber are, you guessed it, fruits and vegetables. Whole grains and legumes are also good sources of fiber.
Soluble fiber is particularly helpful for patients with hyperlipidemia and has been shown to have cardioprotective effects. Foods like oatmeal, beans, and bananas contain a lot of soluble fiber.
Now that we have all that information, let's summarize the main points with a quick example.
A patient comes in with dyslipidemia. Focus on trading things like butter, cheese, animal meats, and processed foods for nuts or nut butters, avocado, plant oils, and fish. Remember to limit added sugars while increasing fiber and water intake by switching from refined to whole grains and increasing intake of whole fruits and vegetables.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to check out the episode notes for more information, including our references and additional resources. We'd like to acknowledge the professors and lecturers on these topics at The Ohio State University College of Medicine and our media and technical specialist, Phil Wachowiak.
That's today's taste of bite-sized medicine.